My name's Drew Tarver, and I am an actor. Is that a title?
I'm Ryan Gall.
Are you sure?
I think I'm Ryan Gall. Yeah, I'm Ryan Gall, and I'm also an actor here in Los Angeles, California.
Drew and Ryan are also both actors and comedians on CISO's bajillion dollar properties.
Well, I'm trying to think of what I want my title to be.
I know, that's a good question.
I wanted to say, hi, I'm Drew Tarver, and I'm a father.
Part of me wanted.
I almost said that after, and then I was good. Like,
you could say that.
I know, I should say that.
But that's such a, you, that's so many people have that title.
You
but
could just be like,
fine.
Bachelor.
So many people are actors as well.
That's yeah. So true. But there's more fathers than actors.
Are you sure?
I guess I'm trying to think of like, what's my unique title?
I bet you there's more actors
son
than fathers.
You're a son of a candy factory owner?
That's true. Hi, I'm Drew Tarver, and I'm an heir to a candy factory.
Nut-based candies.
That was what Ryan heard as he walked through the hallways looking for us to start recording.
Yeah, I was explaining that my dad owns a candy factory
in
Georgia. Pecans. Actually, cashews, peanuts.
Oh, anything nut-based.
Yeah, it's like nut-based candies.
Nut-based candies.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. As I just said a moment ago, Ryan and Drew play Andrew and Baxter on Bajillion Dollar Properties. And on this episode, we spend a lot of time talking about nut-based candy and their comedy. But a lot of candy talk.
Yeah, I guess I am the heir to a candy factory.
'Cause I've got a golden ticket.
But my little brother, as of this week, said he's going to take it over. So I think that
is that
my,
big news in the Tarver family.
Because I was
industry.
The oldest. Yeah. this is big news. This shifted some stock around. Because I was the oldest. I moved out to Hollywood, so Dad gave up on me taking over the candy factory. I have two sisters younger than me. Neither of them were interested, and the youngest. His youngest son, my brother Jake, is now like, I think I'm going to take over the factory.
How old is he?
He's 19. He just turned 19.
He'll
two
change
days
his
ago.
Mind. Yeah. At some point, he's going to go,
well, yeah,
what
two
did
weeks
I,
ago,
a, he, candy, a candy factory?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, he wanted to work at SpaceX.
Yeah.
Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces.
And then he was like, of course he's he like, did. He said, like, no, that's not realistic.
There's almost zero difference between SpaceX and candy.
I was going to say, not realistic. In another world, in another family, someone saying, I want to run a candy factory. I could easily see their parents saying, like,
yeah, Elon
that's not
Musk.
Re-
Elon
not
Musk's
really realistic.
Son is like.
I told you it's a dream of mine to, when I retire, to open up a small candy store / soda fountain / old retro arcade.
Well, didn't arcade part, but Michael Scott, what's his name, the from The Office,
Michael Scott,
no, the actor
Carell, yeah, Steve
Carell, he did that, right?
I don't
he
know.
Has like a soda pop candy store that like
he
I
beat
guess,
me too.
Yeah, like in like rural Pennsylvania or something, and it just like
that's
I think
not,
it just
is,
he's got that
hurts.
Already, but he doesn't have an arcade.
He wouldn't be mad if I did it.
I don't
too.
Think so.
Maybe he wants a franchise.
Would you sell like soda pop and candy that are like brand names, or would you make your own?
I'd want to do sort of all brand name, all like old school, like everything from a your Hershey bar down to Nerds,
penny socks, like all that,
like
weird
penny candy. Remember when you could go to a store and you'd pick out like all the different, and you'd have a bag full of different candy for the movie.
For the movie,
well, you can't eat it anywhere else. You got to take it to the movie.
You can open it up next to
Mom
a theater.
Mom would make you your lunch bag full of popcorn. You'd have your bag full of candy, and then you'd have your 50 cents from. Dad's change drop
with access to a candy factory, and I rarely had a bag full of candy. It just seems bad for you.
I thought you had too much. The grass is always greener.
Yeah, I remember the first I sort of like was figuring out that my dad owned a candy factory when I was like 5 or 6 or something, and my class took a field trip to the candy factory. And I was like kind of excited when we were headed there. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to Dad's candy factory. But also, if you at this time, which is like around like 1990, if you walked into this candy factory, you would be like, they make food in here? Like, there'd be a little bit of like, I don't know about this place.
If it had the like A now through D rating.
Yeah, like right now, like just a few years ago, he got that like rating, like where you have to like, you can track it back. Like, it was like a big deal, but like it allows you to sell in big stores. But before then, it was just like, uh-oh, I don't know about this leaky candy machine that's got a bucket full of chocolate underneath it. Anyway.
What's it leaking?
Chocolate. Okay. Uh-huh. Yes.
Of course, that's what they're going to say.
That's definitely chocolate and not a mixture of chocolate and oil. But we went and like we were like getting out and we walk into it and my dad's like in a hairnet and he's like, all right, kids, now together. Now this is where we make the chocolate covered pecans. And like all the kids like turned around and looked at me and like I was like this god to them. I was just like, it was like the moment I turned into an asshole.
There's nothing like right more important there. Than candy.
Yeah, they were just like, and like the bus ride back to school was like in slow motion and people were like, Drew's dad owns candy.
And it was wild. Wanted.
What was Halloween like for your family?
Well, I mean, like, we always had candy, so it was just, like, I didn't even know it was awesome. Like, we didn't give away, we still would, like, give away Snickers.
We didn't give away candy.
No, no, no.
You had to sell this it. Is we run not, a fact.
Yes, no, we have candy. To, we have a bottom line here, kids showing up for Halloween.
Here's your generic Milky Way.
Yeah.
So, if you're listening to this show, you probably wanted to know more about bajillion dollar properties. And less about the candy.
Yes, I play Andrew Wright.
Yes, and I play Baxter Reynolds, and we're kind of a real estate duo.
Yeah, who are we based off of?
Those guys, I think their names are James and David on
right.
Million Dollar Listing LA. They're like two British, are they brothers? I don't think they're brothers.
I don't
brothers.
Think they're brothers, they were just but super just good
like,
friends.
Yeah, they like are co- realtors and they kind of like depend on each other and they just took our characters and made them really codependent.
So we're a heightened version of them where you know people will question what our relationship even is.
Right.
What,
yes.
When we fight, we murder, and when we when we are in love with each other, you think we're probably going in a closet somewhere to have sex.
Right.
But we don't.
But we don't.
Not what we haven't yet.
We haven't yet.
Well, my character,
yes,
of course, that's why.
But we are all the time fucking in a dark, dank closet off screen when we're not acting.
We have Crafty and we have our closet, and we spend a lot of time in the closet.
Yep. And then when we come out, we just go and eat.
I think it's interesting, even just in the first however many 5 minutes talking about candy and soda fountains. Mm-hmm. When I was talking with Mandel, she said that. You guys had never met before this show before. Or you may have met, but you know.
Right. We'd never spent any, like.
No, I think, because I had seen you on stage at the Groundlings.
Yeah. And I had seen you on stage at the Groundlings.
You had?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, really?
Like a
student show or something?
Yeah,
because, like, the main Groundlings, the people who are Groundlings watch the student shows and they go, that guy sucks or that guy's good.
Out
and
loud.
The jury was out
from the back of the
from
room.
The back, their hats pulled down, and we're all scared. And I think there was, you know, like a big mixture on whether I sucked or was good or not. But I had seen.
No.
Everybody said I sucked.
Everybody said you
it
sucked.
It was a consensus.
It was
a verbal. Your headshot's
up there.
You suck.
Yeah.
But I had never met Ryan. And when I heard that he was doing the show, I was really excited because, like, I thought we would get along.
Yeah, because you guys have such an incredible chemistry. Like, I assumed you were like a two-man sketch group or something.
Yeah, I feel like we had the time we met was at a fitting, and I remember we were like cordial to each other, and then one of us broke it with like a dumb, probably weird joke,
mm-hmm.
and the other one jumped on it and was like, oh, we can do bits on that. And when you smell that in another person, especially in comedy, I feel like you're like, oh yeah, we can do this all day long.
Right, you know? Yeah. I think it's very, when you're both trained at similar places or like with improv, you're given these skills that like you can just like, you're basically a cog. Mm-hmm. And you just have to like meet up with somebody else. That's so stupid.
No, we're cogs. And don't you laugh at that. We've always described ourselves as cogs.
Now you're talking about the cost of goods and your P&L sheets.
Cogs. I'm just a wandering cog looking for a cog that's, you know, what is it?
Part of a cog. You don't even need to go further. We're just wandering cogs.
Is it a wheel and a cog machine?
No, like great
grooves.
We're looking for the similar groove.
Yeah. You
we're
have
just two cogs with similar grooves.
Which is also the name of your band, Two Cogs. Yep,
two cogs.
For a groove.
Double cog. It used to be double cog.
Yeah.
Do cog. When when you have to, especially because we spend so much time on the show together, we have to be willing to like support each other no matter where it goes. And it's really funny because I'd say 99% of the time we'll be as stupid as you might get, I'll be like, yeah, we'll go there. Or if he starts singing a dumb song about a king, I'll be like, yeah, it's king song time. And we'll sing. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, one of us will push it too far. We'll just hear a now. Now. Just a literal.
Now you guys
now.
Haven't wrestled in your underwear.
Yeah.
So what is too far?
I mean, like, it's
usually just a dumb joke that's like doesn't fit, doesn't work.
I feel like I'll go anywhere physically. You can quote me on that.
Yeah.
but you like,
get that clean.
Yeah. I feel like occasionally Ryan will say something that requires too many follow up questions. Like, he'll just be like, no, I've never eaten chicken, or just something crazy like I can't think of just like something that will require the whole scene to
like
come screeching to a halt.
I don't believe in questions,
right? Like something like that, and it's like, okay, well now we have to dissect that. Yeah. Is that true? And like we'll come to a screeching halt within a scene.
Cool off. We'll be like, move on. Move on. Nobody cares whether he believes in questions.
Yeah.
we can
but I think
hold
it,
up a scene.
I think sometimes it also requires having chemistry, I think, is like thinking the other person is really funny. Like, so I think Ryan is really funny. So when I'm in a scene with him, things he is saying is like exciting. So it's very much like, and it opens up a part of my brain when he says something in his point of view.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I see what I didn't think of that this way.
Yeah.
That's fun. Let's follow that.
Yeah. It feels, it's like, there's a safe feeling to being like, I can start something ridiculous and I know he'll get it and add to it rather than just staring and being like, I know what you're trying to do or something, which you might get from, but nobody on our show is like, that's not funny. But I think we have a certain chemistry that allows us to be like, oh yeah, I get that idiocy and I'll go with it.
Yeah. But also we were doing Two Men Sketch for 10 years and we've lied about it. We have been lying.
And we're brothers.
What was your sketch team called?
Two Cogs. East Coast, the mid East Coast, the only coast, I guess, of Maine. Booth Bay Harbor, right above Booth Bay Harbor, but nobody knows the town. Damerscott.
What factory did your father own?
My father owned also a nut candy factory. My father was a superintendent of schools, so I grew up in a very like strict, you know, education is number one, frugal as all hell. We wouldn't get, and it's not like
mom,
we weren't.
This is weird, but your mom, we're recording at the CISO offices.
Yeah.
And a gentleman who works here at CISO just came by and he was like,
got the email.
Yeah. See if you got the email. Apparently your mom, speaking of, gall frugality, mom emailed customer service CISO.
No, she didn't.
And said, hey, my son was my, I don't know why I'm doing a southern accent for her, but my
She's
son, my
this
son,
is not,
no,
true.
This is totally
a true,
true
story.
My son came home for the holidays and he ordered CISO for me or something. And she
set
was
it
like,
up on the TV.
He set it up on the TV and I'm still paying for it and I don't know how to cancel. Could you help me cancel?
And they have the email here.
And he emailed her back and was like, oh, yeah, we'll cancel it for you and also refund your money for the last few months.
My.
How funny is that?
God. It doesn't surprise me at all. My parents, and I guarantee they probably watched like half an episode and then they were like, this is dirty.
yes.
This is very dirty. They're talking about penises. Anyway, yeah, that sums it up then. That story is like, I don't need to talk anymore about them because they're like, we didn't have cable when I was young because they were like, we already have TV. Yeah. We got the four channels that came in sometimes. And
right.
And PBS.
Yeah, PBS. And why TV rots your brain anyway? The boob tube. Boob tube. Idiot box? It's the idiot box.
Really?
So they really call it the idiot box?
Boob tube mostly. The boob tube. That's for real.
And why do they call it the boob tube?
Because you turn into a boob by watching.
Oh, I was thinking like because there was porn on it.
Yeah.
No, but a boob is stupid. Is
yeah,
a stupid
you
person?
Boob. Okay, you heard that?
It's just like a. It's just like a blob.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see.
You
I
dumb
see.
Boob.
I went. Yeah. Which came never first, heard that. The dumb stupid person boob or the breast boob
or the?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I think the boob on a woman came first, and then somebody was like, "That's a." I mean, if you think about what a boob is, it's a very dumb, stupid
well,
thing.
Well, I would call it's someone.
Just a sack of fat.
I would call someone. If that's
hey, babe,
the case.
I love your sacks of fat.
If that's the case, though, thing. I feel like penises are stupider than boobs in terms of like look, everything about it. They're dumber. So I would be calling it like. I would say like
the dick,
cock, like the cock dick tube, like yeah, like.
But it doesn't rhyme.
Dick. I don't like saying cock at all.
Cock.
But like. The
what name, what do you prefer to use?
I think dick is my, like, what I...
I love ween. I think it's innocent, and yet it still is a little...
What did you call a penis as a kid? Like, what did your parents call it? Like put your blank away, or if you...
My
were...
dad used to say, when he'd send us in to take our baths,
uh-huh.
Which he literally, they'd fill up the... tub, and then me and my two sisters and brothers would take turn getting it. So okay. By the time I got there, it was like mud
and cold.
Yeah, just cold mud. And I'd get in, and he literally it became a joke. And to this day, he's like, I don't think I said that, but he'd be like, don't forget to wash your porka. Your porka.
And he doesn't even like wait, say I don't even like know that's what
that,
his dad called
like
it,
like a pig and an orca like combined.
Pork,
well, yeah,
porca.
If you see his penis, it's very pig and orca like. It's got a weird little tail, and it also goes.
And sometimes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he'd say, wash your porca. But anyway.
My parents would call it a wally. Like, you better put your wally away, son.
Maybe they were saying Willie in a southern
no,
accent.
No, wally. And whale. That's what my cousin called it,
wally.
Too. Yeah, wally. I don't know why. Like.
Penis.
I gotta
penis,
ask them where penis. They got that word from.
What did the other adults in your lives call your penises as children?
Oh, just
mine.
Like, yeah.
That too long of a joke. Yeah.
Just, yes.
Figuring out. Yeah. As
you're talking about the people who molested us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
There wasn't not a lot of talking. Yeah. About it.
It was very quiet. It was just like pull it out.
Oh God.
I think my little nephew called his my friend.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I called mine my foe.
My enemy?
Yeah.
I hate my enemy.
Here you are again. We meet again.
He who shall not be named.
Dick. Wiener. Wiener?
Wiener, yeah.
I don't know. How many different names are there?
Oh, there's over.
One of my friends called it a wicker bill.
Wicker bill?
Wicker bill.
That's too
I don't
long.
Even.
That was his version of Wally.
That sounds painful.
How about Ducky?
Ducky? No, I never heard that.
Mark,
I've heard Whacker.
Samantha. Yeah. Jenny.
Samantha. What do you call your dick, Samantha? That's what everybody calls it.
You know,
right?
From
your
Sex
Samantha?
In the City, it's a very Samantha.
My dad used to say, clean your Samantha. Oh, yeah. He was very interested in having us scrub our undergarments.
So he wouldn't wash you because, like, my dad would bathe
I think
us.
When I was real young,
yeah.
He would.
And, but and today.
Yeah.
But that middle.
Yeah. No. And then we started up again a couple of years ago.
Yeah, of course.
So
just
weird.
For like old time's sake.
Yeah.
like was like, hey dad, let's go recreate that photo of us holding nostalgia. Hands when we're really young, yep. And also let me shower with you.
All right, get your pork out. What a weird thing. Anyway.
And your dad's nice too. I sent your dad a Christmas gift.
That's true. My dad loves pecans. Pecans?
My dad says, it's pecans when you buy them and it's pecans when you sell them.
Oh, okay.
Because
everybody calls them pecans.
Yeah.
My dad loves pecans, so I said, oh, you got to send my dad a box of these. And he sent it with a, you probably have that email he sent back to you.
But this is the other thing we were talking about.
It was great. But my dad was like, I got home and he was like, Ryan, I need to talk to you. Your friend from the show, and he couldn't get your name at first. He was like, right. Jason or Carolyn,
Samantha,
Drew. Yeah, Drew. But he got this box of pecans, and he was like, these are really good. It's a good friend you have there. That's a good friend. He seems like, and then he'd be like, is he good? He's a good person. He's a good guy.
Am I going out on a limb here, or is he a good
guy?
Is he bribing me with his
candy? I mean, that must be nice. Did you send anything to his dad? Should we send him something? But he was like, I'd like to get his email, and I'd like to return a thank you note, which I hope can't. I don't think I think you read it to me once, and I was like, yep, that's exactly who he is.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. a big thank you. Thank you is in all caps.
By the way, I've explained it a million times. My dad, LOL, he signs his name to family because he thinks it means lots of love. And I've told him, I'm like, no, it means laugh out loud. And he's like, uh-huh. And then...
Okay, it says, hi, Drew. I want to express my appreciation for your special gift over the holidays. I do like pecans, and the Schelling Company pecans covered with chocolate are exceptional. My wife and I enjoyed your generous gift. Best wishes for all the best in 2016. Rolling on the floor laughing, Dave Gall.
P.S. Do you know how we can cancel our CISO membership?
What a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. My parents are the nicest people in the world. Makes me feel guilty about everything I do in my life that's not 100% nice. But yeah, they're like the kind of people that would find a dollar on a walk and they'll be like, we got to find the person who lost this. And they would never spend it. They would spend years and keep it like in a drawer. And they'll be like, they wouldn't give up. They just wouldn't give up.
Son, I'm on my deathbed, and I got something I needed to tell you. Find who's ever $1 bill this is. Croak.
Dad, why are you imitating a frog right now?
Oh, sorry. I was trying to die.
That's
a
sound.
Horrible time to work on your animal impression.
That's the sound my porca makes. Croak.
So, what brought you out to L.A.? How did you get out here?
I was doing improv and sketch in Boston at a theater called Improv Asylum. I kind of started there, and sooner or later, my dad actually said, he was like, so you enjoying doing this? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, if you want to do something, I can't remember exactly. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, go to where the best people do it. Stop doing it in Boston. So I was like, my dad saying that, I gotta go. So hopped in the Jetta.
Black 2002.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. First car. And drove out. Haven't looked back. Looked back a few times. I look back every day.
You're staring into this wall. You're not even looking at
it. I've already failed. Yeah, that's it.
When was that?
That was 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. It was great. It was the perfect time to do it. I had wanted to do it for a few years, but, you know, I got out here and sold phone conferencing for about 2 months and then quit. I literally got up and went like this. I was sitting there. It was a huge Asian man was my boss. Mm-hmm. And when I say huge, I mean, he was probably like 500 pounds.
Okay. You don't mean tall.
Never saw him move. No. And he, I got up and he was like, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I never went back.
Shut up.
Yep. Never went back. Never picked up my last paycheck. I just was like, I can't do that.
You can still get that money.
How much was it? It was probably so little. I mean, I was getting paid like $10 an hour, and I had come in probably 6 hours that week.
Because if you don't want it, I mean,
you want it?
I could use some.
Listen, yeah. I'm going to get that right back. Now, I'm going to get that back for you.
Walk back into that office and go, whew, that was a tough bathroom break.
Anyway,
your joke was better than mine.
$500 to do
that. Oh my God, that was like, so great.
I fell in.
I need to get a pill or something. My whizzes are going on.
That's the first time I've ever gone to the bathroom.
Had some problem with my poor guy.
Should be good
there
for a while. Anyway.
Another 20.
Bing, 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 bing. Hello. Oh, I should do that. I should just email him and be like, hey, man, so that check.
So did you go to the Groundlings right away?
Yeah, that was my main. I had looked it up online, like improv and sketch. Sketch specifically because I knew about like Second City and I.O. But I was like, if I want to do sketch, where am I going to do it? And UCB wasn't even out here at that point. So I found the Groundlings and was like, oh, Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell did this. And I kept thinking in my head, Will Ferrell's probably the best at sketch that I know. So I should go there and learn. So it was literally the day after I got to LA, I went and signed up for an audition at the Groundlings and was like, I've made it. And then realized that the Groundlings takes 50 years and $6,000.
Yeah, it takes 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell signed up. Yeah. His mom
when
signed
he was,
him up.
Yeah. Which is actually a great move. I should sign up my kids.
You should go ahead and get him in there.
Get some negative years on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, get him into basic. Absolutely.
I don't
five.
Have any kids, but I'm going to sign him up now.
Get him in the database, man. Get him in the database.
And Drew, how did you end up here in LA?
My sisters are the talented ones in my family. Like, my two little sisters are like, they were like singers and dancers.
And here they are.
Yeah. Come on in. Oh, they're the Rockettes. The Redneck Rockettes.
That's a great idea.
And they were always like singing at pageants and at church, and like they would sing, like they would cover Mary-Kate and Ashley songs that were like Brother for Sale and stuff, and I would like sneak my way into their bits. I'd be like, hey, y'all gonna do Brother for Sale again at the pageant, because I can be the brother, like, and I would just like ham it up. And then I would kind of like, I started like, I would like host little weird like talent shows, or just force my way really into anything with a microphone. And my little, but I was just like so, I was like on this, basically like living in this town was basically like living on like a remote island. So I didn't know like, oh, you can go do this. I was just like, I'm going to take over the candy factory. And like, that's what I'm going to do. And one of my sisters got on a show called American Juniors. She auditioned for this. It was the year after American Idol. Kelly Clarkson won American Idol, and they had auditions for this thing called American Juniors, which was American Idol Junior, American Idol for kids. And my little sister got on it, and she made the top 10, like audition after audition. My dad was just like, I don't know. She keeps making it through the rounds. We might move to Hollywood. So she made it through, and she got in the top 10. And instead of like voting kids off of the show, which was too mean, I think, to do to a bunch of like 10-year-olds, they would vote them on to a group. There was going to be like a 5-kid super group managed by Simon Cowell. So they flew, once you made the top 10, they flew the whole family there. So we were all kind of there. And while she was on the show, she was like 13 at the time, I was 17. And they would sit the family on the stage, like the side of the stage, and they would like throw to the family because they wanted like this family aspect to the show. They would throw to the family after they sang, and they'd be like, what'd y'all think? And we'd all be like, she's the best. You gotta have her to the next round. Like, and I would like, at one point I was like, I had met Aaron Carter in the hotel we were staying at, and I was like, on the microphone, I was like, I met Aaron Carter last night, Ryan. And they like was like trying to tell him about meeting Aaron Carter. And I feel like 3 weeks in, they were just like, they took our microphones away. Like, they only gave like a microphone to my mom and my little brother, like, so he could be like, I loved her. And my mom wouldn't really talk, so they could just like get through. But anyway, she didn't make the group. They sent us to Vegas for a consolation prize. Never been to Vegas before. I stole a robe from the hotel. I forget where we stayed, but I still have that robe. And then they sent us back to Georgia. And I had bought a bunch of like cool clothes in LA. Like I had like a white belt and like some caramel colored like square toe shoes. And I like walked back into my high school like, yeah, Mr. Hollywood's back. And they were like, ooh, take that crap off. What are you doing? Like, you ain't wearing that shit around us. So I threw my white belt away. I got rid of my shoes and I was just like, well, I guess I'm back now. Like it's all over. And then my little sister got a record deal in New York. And this isn't really how I started comedy. This is kind of how I escaped Georgia. Not that it was like a prison, but, you know, I escaped. And she got a record deal in New York. They went up there for 3 months to record an album. I was like, well, at that time I was just in my first semester of college. And I was like, well, I'm going with y'all. So I like dug my white belt out of the trash, like went up to New York with them. And I had met enough people like cater waitering by the time they were done recording that album. They went home and I started like living on a friend's couch and like just stayed in New York for 3 years, kind of just like cater waitering and like going to clubs. And I found out about UCB like pretty soon after, or like, no, 2 years into living there. I was like, my acting teacher was like, I was trying to take acting classes and she was like, True, you're very bad at this. You keep trying to make jokes and you're not doing what we're asking at all. Because like people in there were like crying, yeah, and they were like, and I was like, can I do just like a funny scene where I'm the like guy from Mad TV? I'm like Stuart. And they're like, Drew, I don't know what you're doing, but you got to get out of here. So she was like, why don't you go see a show at UCB? So I saw like Zach Woods and Bobby Moynihan and Chris Gethard and like Will Hines and a bunch of people do a show. And I was like, holy shit, these people have the same weird brain as me. And turns out they don't. They're way smarter than me. They're way smarter than me. And I figured that out pretty quickly. But they let me in on account of like, look how stupid this guy is.
So if you want to see more of Ryan and Drew being stupid and really funny, be sure to check them out on Bajillion Dollar Properties, which just last month was renewed for 2 more seasons. So if you want to watch the show, make sure you have CISO.
Get CISO, guys.
Yeah, don't be like my mother. Just get it for a week, watch a couple shows, and then ask for a
actually do that.
And, like, yeah,
and say, what's your mom's name again?
Mary.
Say Mary Gall, like get it. Get it for 3 months, watch as much as you can, then email customer service and be like, Mary Gall got her money back. I want mine too.
Thanks so much for listening, and a big special thanks to Ryan and Drew. They're just so much fun to talk to. It was actually hard trying to trim this episode down into something a little bit more succinct, so maybe in the future we'll release a bonus episode with a lot of the other stuff we talked about. And I say this at the end of every show, but if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at CISO Show. That's SEESO Show. You can also follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan F. Gall, GAUL, and Drew Tarver at Drew Tarver. Send us a tweet this week and let us know you listened to the show. Take care. Did you wear your CISO sweatshirt on purpose?
Of course
I did. Yeah. I lost mine.
I wore mine on purpose. You lost it? I think this is one of my favorite hoodies ever.
It's so comfortable, isn't it?
I
know. It's incredible.
I'm so bummed.
But it's cozy.
It was, and I'm sad I missed
it. Well, I'm sure you can get hooked up with a new one.
Nope.
CISO Dan. Shout out to CISO Dan.
William CISO down in the corner.
Shout out to Evan Shapiro.
Evan Shapiro. Cool. Dan Kersetter.
See you guys at South by Southwest.
Whoop.